Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
We are celebrating day two of the famous Harvard-McGill game that happened in 1874, as well as remembering a couple guys named Smith and one named Lewis that went into the Hall of Fame on their birthdays, all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. And we have another glorious day of football history. May 15th is our date of topic, and we are celebrating some really great things. As we alluded to yesterday, on May 14th's edition, we talked about the Harvard-McGill game that happened in 1874. And they had game one on that May 14th day where they played by Harvard's rules. So May 15th, they did some exciting things. And it's reported in our newspapers.com football history headline of the day. May 16th, 1874 edition of the Boston Post newspaper had an excerpt that read football. And it said, "The last of the games of football between Harvard and McGill University was played yesterday afternoon at Jarvis Field. As the first day's play had been by the Harvard rules, yesterday those of McGill were adopted. Three games of half an hour each were played, time being called at the expiration of each, without either club having been able to force the ball over the opposite goal. There was a large crowd with much enthusiasm." And you know, that's just a great thing to talk about. You know, an 1874 game, a team traveling from Canada challenging Harvard to play some games of rugby is what it was at the time. They played by Harvard's rugby rules on the Thursday, the May 14th, Friday, May 15th, 1874. They were playing by the Canadian rules, and it was just a whole different thing. They used a different ball. As we talked about yesterday, Harvard used more of a round basketball, medicine ball shaped ball, and the McGill players used more of a traditional, what we know as a rugby ball, more of that egg shape, not as pointy as a football, but having those big rounded ends, a little bit easier to carry, and Harvard really liked that ball. The great football historian Park H. Davis, in his book from 1911 titled Football, the Intercollegiate Game, states that McGill University's captain in 1874 was a player by the name of David Roger, and it was he that sent the invitation for the game to Harvard. The first suggested to be played on this May 1874 time period in Cambridge, Massachusetts, under the Rugby All-Canada Code rules, and a second game was proposed to be played in Montreal that fall under the Harvard rules, thus introducing each school style of play to the fans of the host school. These proposed plans, of course, morphed into something even better, and it was a lot of enthusiasm on both sides, and the challenge was accepted by Harvard. The American Heritage website gives us even more insight. They decided to play two games, one on May 14th under Harvard's rules, and one under May 15th under McGill's. Harvard won that first game 3-0, while the second was a scoreless tie. And after a return match in Montreal that October, Harvard decided to adopt the McGill version for good. In June of 1875, Tufts defeated Harvard in the first football game between American teams. That fall, Harvard met Yale for the first time under the concessionary rules that blended the two games but leaned towards Harvard's version. A year later, when Harvard, Rutgers, Princeton, and Columbia and Yale formulated the first standard set of college football rules, they abandoned soccer entirely in favor of the Harvard-McGill game. Thus, the ultra-American sport of football turns out to have been invented in Canada, in Quebec, yet to say. And now we sit here 147 years later to the day enjoying that great game of football that evolved out of that Harvard-McGill weekend, May 14th, May 15th, 1874. May 15th, 1970, H. Goldsmith football pants with protectors were patented under U.S. Patent 1225799. First time that a pair of football pants had pads sort of sewn into them, or pockets sewn into them, so you could put pads for protection. It's kind of ironic, and these days in the NFL, I don't even know that they wear any pads in the pants anymore. Kind of an odd thing. Now let's go to some birthdays of Hall of Famers for this May 15th. We'll start off in the year 1921. Delphos, Ohio. The University of Wyoming halfback from 1948 to 1950, Eddie Talboom arrived into this life. In Eddie's bio on the National Football Foundation's website, it says Boom Boom, as he was called, served in the military during World War II right out of high school, but upon his return stateside, he enrolled at the University of Wyoming and played under head coach Bowden Wyatt. Talboom started in the Wyoming single-wing offense. As he ran, passed, punted, and place-kicked, Eddie became Wyoming's first All-American in 1950 as he scored 130 points in 1950, third in the nation. In his career, he scored 34 touchdowns and 99 extra points. This gave him a total of 303 points. His average, 10.2 per game, was the fifth highest on record, even up to the year 2000. Talboom also passed for 21 touchdowns, returned 10 kicks, and intercepted 2 passes during his career. Wyoming went 9-1 in 1949, 10-0 in 1950, and in 1949, Talboom scored 29 points against Colorado State. Boom Boom was responsible for all of Wyoming's points in the 1950 Gator Bowl as they knocked off Washington and Lee 20-7. Eddie Talboom was honored with introduction into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2000 after the National Football Foundation tallied up their votes. Now, I just want to let you know, if you want to be able to read through some old articles like we did earlier on the May 16th, 1874 edition of the Boston Post, now think about that for a second, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more dating back to 1798 all the way to yesterday. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting the website sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, and with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And when I tell you that I read it right out of that May 16th, 1874 edition, I literally did. There was a digital copy of looking at the newspaper from 1874, 147-year-old newspaper. I'm sitting there reading online in the comfort of my own home. And you can do that too with that free week from sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. So make sure you check that out and get all the great news, just like I bring you each and every day on the football history headlines. May 15th, 1923, San Diego, California. George Brown of the U.S. Naval Academy and San Diego State Guard that played from 1942 to 1943 at the Academy, and again in 1947 with San Diego State, was born. As you can tell, the Great War interrupted George's collegiate career. He served on the USS Indianapolis and on a couple of submarines during World War II. The NFF says that Brown was named as an All-American by the Associated Press in 1943. George entered in San Diego State after his duty was over, with 1 year of college eligibility remaining. He played guard and linebacker for the Aztecs in 1947, and he was made honorary captain and was named the most valuable player by his teammates that year. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed a display in the honor of George Brown into their legendary museum in 1985. May 15th, 1958, Perry, Georgia. Florida State's 1977 to 1980 defensive tackle Ron Simmons claimed his date of birth. The footballfoundation.org website says that Ron was one of Florida State's most fierce tacklers. Ron Simmons was twice named a consensus first-team All-American en route to leading the Seminoles to 3 bowl berths. Simmons held school records for career tackles for loss with 44, as well as 17 forced fumbles. Ron still ranks second all-time in career tackles, recording 483, and owns a spot in the top 5 of nearly every other FSU defensive category. Simmons also finished 9th in the 1979 Heisman Trophy voting, and Ron Simmons' collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction took place in 2008. The D lineman played 2 seasons in the USFL before becoming a star in professional wrestling world for more than 20 years as part of the tag team duo called Doom. May 15th, 1969, Pensacola, Florida. Emmitt Smith, the legendary University of Florida running back from 1987 to 1989, was born. Emmitt joined the college ranks with a bang as he arrived at the University of Florida as a National Player of the Year, scoring 109 touchdowns at his Pensacola, Florida high school. The NFF says that in just his first game, he broke the school's single-game rushing mark in an upset at Alabama. He gained 1,341 yards as a freshman and finished ninth in the Heisman voting that year. His top 10 finish was only the second time a freshman had broken into the top 10 of that Heisman voting. He also earned National Freshman of the Year honors that initial season. Smith was gifted with exceptional balance and great vision, which allowed him to seemingly do the impossible on the football field. In his junior season, he finished third in the nation in rushing, was near unanimous All-American selection, and placed seventh in the Heisman vote. In 3 years, he set 58 school records, rushing for 3,928 yards, scoring 36 touchdowns, and earned SEC Player of the Year honors. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed a display in the honor of Emmitt Smith in their legendary museum in 2006. But that wasn't all the great things that Emmitt Smith did. Emmitt was a first-round pick of the Dallas Cowboys in the 1990 NFL Draft as a 17th overall selection. He played 15 seasons as a back in the league and came out of it as the all-time rushing champion with 18,355 yards, breaking Walter Payton's record. He also rushed for 11 straight 1,000-yard seasons and won three Super Bowl titles with the Cowboys. In 1993, Smith was named as the NFL's MVP as well as the most valuable player in Super Bowl XXVIII. Emmitt Smith was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2010. May 15, 1970, Cleveland, Ohio. Desmond Howard, the University of Michigan's wide receiver and kick returner from 1989 to 1991, had his birth certificate filled out that day. Howard led the Big Ten in scoring while helping the Wolverines to three conference titles and two Rose Bowls during his time in Ann Arbor. He did so well that he won the Heisman Trophy in 1991 and was named a consensus All-America, took home the Maxwell Award and the Walter Camp Player of the Year all in 1991 during his prolific senior season. The footballfoundation.org website claims he finished his career with 134 receptions for 2,146 yards and 32 touchdowns and set the Michigan record for most touchdowns, 23, and points, 138, scored in a single season. Desmond Howard was honored with the induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2010 after the National Football Foundation tabulated up their votes. Desmond was fourth overall selection in the 1992 NFL Draft by the Washington Redskins. He spent 11 seasons as a pro. Howard claimed the Super Bowl XXXI Most Valuable Player Award when he led his Green Bay Packers over the New England Patriots after setting a Super Bowl record for punt return yardage with 90 and total return yards 244 in a game. He also set the Super Bowl record for the longest kick return of that big game, 99 yards. I mean, who can forget that extremely exciting play to watch when he returned that against New England? May 15th, 1970, Texarkana, Arkansas. That 1988 and 1990 to 94 wide receiver of Missouri Southern, Rod Smith, was born. The NFF says Rod Smith set six records during his college career with the Lions. A two-time All-MIAA selection, Smith set five conference records by the conclusion of his collegiate career, including the most receiving yards in a game with 254, receiving touchdowns in a game, four, and average yards per catch of 24.0 career receiving yards. He had 3,122 of those career receiving yards, and he had 35 career touchdowns. Smith also is the only player in Missouri Southern State history to have had his number retired at the end of his college career. The National Football Foundation selected Rod Smith for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2009, and Rod enjoyed a nice pro career with the Denver Broncos. He sets franchise records for career receptions with 849, receiving yards of 11,389, touchdown receptions of 68, and overall touchdowns of 71. The Broncos won two Super Bowls during Smith's tenure with the club, and he retired prior to the 2008 season. But wait, there's more Hall of Famers. May 15th, 1975, Ray Lewis, a standout linebacker from the University of the Miami Hurricanes program, was born. Ray was a great performer for the Baltimore Ravens during his illustrious 17-year NFL career. Ray earned Super Bowl 35 MVP award, as well as a Defensive Player of the Year in both 2000 and 2003. He was just the second player in history to earn both the Super Bowl MVP and a DPOY in the same season. Remarkable, this special player led Baltimore in tackles in 14 different seasons as he became the first player in history to reach the marks of both 40 career sacks and at least 30 interceptions. That's quite a feat there. Lewis played in 12 Pro Bowls and earned the status of NFL All-Pro in 8 different times. Ray Lewis in the year of 2018 was enshrined to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And how is that about a list of birthdays? You have the NFL rushing champion, Emmitt Smith. He was a Super Bowl MVP. Ray Lewis, a Super Bowl MVP, born that same day. Rod Smith, you know, all the records that he did set at Denver, just, you know, remarkable. You know, just some great pro players, great college players, you know, Ron Simmons and, you know, George Brown are nothing to sneeze at either, as well as Eddie Talboom. You know, those are some really great things. And besides that, you know, we had the anniversary of the day two of the McGill-Harvard game, which really launched football as a sport in America. You know, just a tremendous day. We are sure glad you joined us. Hope you join us tomorrow because we have more great football history to have for you there. So you can check us out at pigskindispatch@gmail.com if you want to comment anything. If you want to see our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can go to our sister station where we have all of our partners, sportshistorynetwork.com, where you will have many different podcasts on sports history with a variety of great, talented podcasters and guests there. So make sure you check those out. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, That's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.